Hi, I'm Bobby, and I'm your friend who knows just a little bit too much about pop culture. Welcome to your weekly meeting of Pop Culture Fanatics Anonymous. This week, we're going to be having a very casual conversation about all things Emmys, Ted Lasso, and a little bit about prestige TV. So, this past Sunday was the Emmys, or as I like to call it, TV Christmas. It's a big night for people who love TV, like me. It's the Super Bowl of TV, like I said, TV Christmas. It's a big moment if you really love television. And this past ceremony was no exception. But before we get into what I loved about the ceremony, we have to address the elephant in the room. And that is Emmys So White, hashtag Emmys So White. And that was the hashtag that immediately followed or was probably circulating around the ceremony. The fact that every major category was kind of dominated by white people. I can't say that I'm necessarily shocked, and I'm definitely not at all surprised. I think Hollywood does this thing, and they love doing this thing where they kind of point the finger at other industries for not really practicing diversity, and they will kind of applaud themselves for talking about diverse stories, and you know, like, diverse stories got nominated but they did not win. And anyone who works in Hollywood knows that these structures, these ceremonies that we have, ultimately help newer shows to get made, and like shows like the ones that win to get made. And if not a ton of shows led by people of color, written, directed, show run by people of color, if they're not being awarded beyond a nomination, then obviously there is a large likelihood that shows like that will kind of, you know, continue to have a difficult time getting greenlit. And it's disheartening, honestly. I think there were so many good nominations this year across a ton of different categories, and it's just a shame that Hollywood still thinks that shows of merit only look one way. And they can have a diversity of the story kind of being told, but not really those who tell them. It still very much looks the same, and or it is the same story that's being awarded every single year. I know, I think it was Yvette Nicole Brown, she tweeted, I think it was her, she tweeted about, you know, like, SNL really, you know, they have 40 years worth of accolades, and we celebrate the show, it's like a pillar of pop Americana, but this really was a year where a Black lady sketch show should have really shined. It's a very great show, and I think SNL, for what it's worth, it's been awarded. Like, it's gotten its award. So for it to kind of dominate variety sketch series every single year, when there are plenty of very great variety sketch shows, like I said, a Black lady sketch show being one of them, it kind of gives you pause a little bit about, like, okay, so are we just kind of resting on our laurels here, or are we only depending on, you know, what is it, you know? That, and I think also the drama category with The Crown taking the crown, as it has done for the past, it feels like 10 centuries. And this, again, I want to preface the fact that I know that The Crown is an amazing show, and I am not really faulting it specifically, but I think it is a show that definitely has gotten its fair share of accolades, and I think there are plenty of really great dramas this year. One that I think a lot of people really, really enjoyed, and I think it's kind of interesting that it got canceled, was Lovecraft Country. I saw another tweet saying that this is now the second year where a actor was honored posthumously, and they lost out to a black male actor. Was honored posthumously, and they lost out to a white Brit. So I think it was last year it was Chadwick Boseman, and then this year it was Michael K. Williams for Lovecraft Country. So when you start to look at all those different things that are kind of that always bubble up after the ceremony, when kind of people debrief about the ceremony and what they didn't like about it, and kind of put their heads together and realizing this pattern, you begin to see like, okay, you can't say that it's not an awareness of these issues, because there's a massive awareness that these shows tend to always look the same and tend to always award the same types of people. And while most would love for it to be a show built on merit, that just simply isn't how the structure of the industry is built on. And I would hope that in my lifetime, we'll see when the Oscars and the Emmys and, you know, any other major award show is not really built too heavily on politicking and allows for merit to shine through. And whoever, genuinely believing that whoever tells the best story, you know, is awarded with the accolade of an Emmy or an Oscar, and allowing your mind to kind of go outside of what you think or who you think will be the one to tell the best story. So just wanted to kind of elaborate on that, ruminate on that for a little bit, because we can't necessarily ignore that was a very prominent through line throughout the entire ceremony. I think this was a year where there was the most nominations by a person of color, but no person of color was awarded for an acting category, which I think is incredibly interesting, and not in a fun way. One thing that I did love, every year I am an avid watcher of the comedy category, because comedy is the types of television that I tend to frequent. And every year I am sitting with bated breath over who is going to win. I always can kind of predict it. I'm not saying that I'm the Raven Baxter of the comedy category for the Emmys, but I will take that. So last year it was Schitt's Creek. And if you follow me on Twitter, at Hi, I'm Bobby, you know that I lost my mind last year when Schitt's Creek, when the Schitt sweep happened. And this year was no exception, with Ted Lasso. Again, Ted Lasso is one of the best shows that I've seen in a very, very long time. And I think it's become a very fast favorite of mine. And the fact that it was mostly there with the sweep, even though Hacks kind of came in and swept up to the awards, which I haven't seen Hacks, but I've heard a lot of great things about it. But I was hoping that Ted would be able to kind of cinch the whole category like Schitt's Creek did last year, but I have to say that I'm incredibly happy with the awards that they did get. They secured Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy with Hannah Waddingham, who plays Rebecca, and they got a Best Supporting Actor with Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy, and it might be outstanding. I can't remember what adjective they use. I think it's outstanding lead actor in a comedy, with Jason Sudeikis as the titular character, Ted Lasso. And then they got the ever prestigious outstanding comedy series. All worth it. All incredibly deserved. If you have not seen Ted Lasso, I'm going to spend the next couple of minutes convincing you why I think you should watch it. So Ted Lasso is a show that is on Apple TV, and I think it's kind of been this, at least until before the Emmys, it was kind of the sleeper hit, in a similar way of like how Schitt's Creek did. It was like a show that some people had kind of been buzzing about here and there, but the vast majority of people hadn't really heard of it. And then when they swept the Emmys, everyone was like, oh my gosh, what is this show? And then it kind of just like blew off into the stratosphere of being this like one of the best sitcoms in recent history. Again, well deserved. And Ted Lasso is definitely getting that treatment as well. So the show is, I made a TikTok about it a couple of days ago, and I had to really confront what it is that I love about the show. And I think in the era of prestige TV, something that I'll get into a little bit later, I was confronted with the fact that for in the era of prestige TV, I think a lot of people will say like, oh, I like the show because it, you know, it's something that I've never seen before and it subverted all my expectations and it had a bunch of swerves and all these different things and blah, 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 blah. And it, I think a lot of prestige TV, which I, like I said, I'll get into a little bit later, it tries to pack a lot of different things into one show. And with Ted Lasso, I realized that what I love about it is its simplicity. And I think in the era of a television that is super smart and super aware, to hear the word simple is immediately kind of associated with bad. And I don't think that Ted Lasso adheres to that in the least. Premise of the story is very simple. It's a plucky American coach who comes and coaches this like kind of failing football club. The Brits are kind of put off by his incessant positivity, I think at some times rightfully so. But eventually that same positivity is what wins them over and really allows them to love Ted Lasso, the character. I think it's a premise that we've seen before. It's your kind of fish out of water tale, this person coming in who is like completely opposite of the world that they've been placed into, and they either are going to assimilate to the culture of that world that they've been placed into, or they're going to change it completely. And that's what Ted Lasso does with his infectious optimism. So that's a tale that we've heard before. But what I love about the show is that because it has a story that we're kind of familiar with in structure and characters that we can kind of immediately identify with and relate to, it allows you to really feel the emotions. Like it really, that element of the show turns the emotions up to a 10. And you are kind of accosted by these really powerful emotional moments that you weren't really anticipating that you were going to feel with a show like Ted Lasso. I think with shows that are kind of rooted in a lot of positivity and good, and they're not so doom and gloom and kind of waiting for the ball to drop, you can kind of count them off as like, oh, well, I already know what's going to happen in that show. And I'm not like, because happiness is kind of like what we feel is the default emotion, and that you can't feel like that you can build off of happiness or optimism or positivity. I think a lot of people might cast it out as a show of like, oh, it's not really that complex and it's not really that deep. And it's not until you're in the trenches of the show that you realize, wow, this is kind of a really, even though I said it was simple, it is complex in a lot of ways. And I think it's complex in its emotion and certain moments that you're really like, oh, wow, okay, they're touching on something that is incredibly difficult to synthesize and kind of wrap your head around, but they're really attacking it in a way that is poignant, I think. That and the show is not, you know, just gumdrops and rainbows and lollipops the whole time. There are definitely plenty of beats in the show that kind of touch on conflict. I don't think this is really a spoiler, but spoilers anyways. We find out that, I think in the first couple of episodes, we find out that Ted is going through a divorce. And that is the whole reason why he took a job in England, was to give his wife space. And there is an episode that built on that dynamic that he has with his wife. And you think a guy like Ted Lasso, who is so positive and, you know, so just happy-go-lucky, he would have kind of this happy-go-lucky relationship. And I think it gives a very human look at, like, his wife didn't necessarily need that. Like, his wife didn't necessarily, you know, at the time at least, by the time their relationship ended, she didn't, that incessant positivity that he has wasn't what she needed. And I think it's a very honest look at something like that. And also there comes a point where Ted is kind of overcome with emotion too, and he ends up having a panic attack. And I think to have a character like Ted Lasso, like I said, I feel like I'm using the word positivity a lot, but he really is, I cannot stress enough how positive this character is. He's a very positive guy, and so to have him in a moment of panic and him not exhibiting that happy-go-lucky charm that he has, it's off-putting, but not in a way that turns you off from the show. It's like, it kind of snaps you back to reality of like, oh, Ted Lasso is a real person. There's so many moments that are similar to that beyond just Ted, the character. There are a lot of moments with the surrounding characters who they have. We think that we know who they are and we figure them out. And then they do something or something happens to them and we see them change. And it's not like we're seeing them change and we're like, oh, I don't like that change. We're seeing them evolve and grow. And the deeper you get into the show, you're like, yes, like, woohoo, like I'm rooting for these characters. Like you're rooting for the football team, like, or the football, yeah, football team, soccer team, whatever. Just like you're rooting for the team, you're rooting for these characters in tandem with that. And I think that's just, it's a part of the charm of the show. The show is just so charming, and it's so upbeat, and it's so earnest and heartwarming, and like it makes you feel good. It's a really feel good show. And we are kind of, it feels like every year we kind of get a show like that here lately. And I could definitely say it started with like The Good Place, which I would venture to say feel good is kind of, it's a feel good show, but it definitely can send you into a bit of a philosophical tizzy if you think about it a little bit too hard, like I did. And then you got Schitt's Creek, and then now we have Ted Lasso, which are continuing a lineage of really positive shows, and I think that's why they're so successful, especially in the age of the heavy drama. A show like Ted Lasso is almost welcome, especially in tandem with the everything that's going on in the world. It really feels like a place of that you could seek refuge in, but also get a really good story. So it's not necessarily in the same vein of what some would consider to be kind of your guilty pleasure TV. I personally don't feel like guilty pleasure should exist with TV. You like with you what you like, but what some would consider to be guilty pleasure TV, like reality or like reality competition shows like Big Brother or whatever it is that you watch to kind of like unwind. So I think in this particular era of TV that we're in, where everything is so like deep and drenched in plot and exposition and everything like that, a show like Ted Lasso is almost welcomed and is necessary, because I think with the amount of content that we consume on the day-to-day, you kind of need something that almost kind of serves as like a palate cleanser, but it's not a palate cleanser in that it's completely stripping away everything. It's still giving you something, but it makes you feel good. It's that like that dopamine hit, it's that serotonin hit, you know. And that's, I just love shows like that, and I think it's good to have a balance. Like, yeah, I have your comedies that are a little bit darker, have your dramas that are a little bit deeper, as far as deeper and darker, but you know, you need a show like a Ted Lasso or a Schitt's Creek or whatever it is, that kind of just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy. We've got a few episodes under our belt here at the Hi, I'm Bobby podcast. And I got to tell you that it wasn't simpler to start a podcast than with Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. So let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast straight from your phone or your computer. Anchor will literally distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. If this sounds amazing to you, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. I am so excited, and I hope you guys will make a podcast today. That brings us into prestige TV. I think that's a good segue into talking about prestige TV. And I will give you the definition of what prestige TV is, because I think that the term and the phrase is thrown around quite a bit. And I think there are some people that hear and they're like, oh, prestige TV. And then they're like, okay, but what does that mean? And it's a lot more simple than you think it is. So this is from a Mary Sue article from themarysue.com talking about the role of prestige TV in the era of WandaVision. And it's actually a very, very good read. Also, WandaVision incredibly snubbed at the Emmys. Very, very sad about that. I thought WandaVision easily one of the best shows of the year. I really, really enjoyed it. I I think I kind of want to talk about WandaVision separately because I don't necessarily think that it really fits when we're talking about Ted Lasso, which is a show that's very, very different, but that'll be an episode for another day. But yeah, going back to the article, it's very, very good. I highly recommend you check it out and read it. It's from earlier this year. And the article defines prestige TV as prestige television was a term that meant to highlight how television had become elevated due to cable television shows like The Sopranos, Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and others during the late 90s, early 2000s, among the slow burnout of sitcom television. So it basically is the umbrella term for the phenomena that's been charted for the last 20 to 25 years within television, that is that TV is getting smarter, and by proxy, the audience is getting smarter with it. So it is something that on paper, I think, is really good. And in practice, it's really good too, but there are definitely some pros and cons to it. So let's start out with pros. So the pros of prestige TV are that the audience is getting smarter. I think prestige TV definitely builds media literacy, which is something that I personally feel like we should learn. In addition to things like financial literacy, I think media literacy is very, very important to learn, especially at a young age, like in middle school and high school. I think that's when you should probably be learning media literacy, if nothing else, for how you interact with film and TV. But I think it's also incredibly important when interacting with things like the news and with social media. And I think it would be, I feel like, a very good way to combat misinformation and knowing how to decipher what is real and what is not to the best of your ability. And if you have the tools of media literacy kind of on the ready, you can combat those problems that are definitely a major issue as of late. But again, that's a conversation for another day. But it definitely does kind of, it works that muscle of being able to understand kind of deeper meanings and, you know, seeing something on screen but understanding that it means something else. Like, prestige TV is really, really good at that. And it's never a fully bad thing that your audience is getting smarter with your television. I do think that it can have some cons, as far as if the show is trying to be too smart, it can kind of go a little bit over the audience's head, and it's not the audience's fault, it's the show for trying to do too many things. And more often than not, those things that they try to pack their stories with tend to not be as effective. And there are plenty of examples of a show that on paper, like in the script, is really smart and maybe it's really well produced, but then when audiences watch it, they don't really gravitate towards it. They're like, it's nothing there. There's no substance. There's nothing that really made me want to continue to watch the show, because it felt like it was just almost, it's almost like braggadocious in and of itself. It's a show that is taking itself really too seriously. I go back and forth about whether or not that's a good or bad thing. I think it's difficult. Getting back to my point, prestige TV has a good place. It has, I think, positive intentions, but I do think that there are some kinks in the, I wouldn't say system of it, but I think there are a lot of TV shows that are setting out to really make you feel this thing or make you think this thing. And it's much better when a show can organically do that. And I think, I will say it, you know, drama people don't come after me, but I think comedies do this a lot better than dramas do. And I know it's kind of a phenomenon within screenwriting that writing a comedy is a little bit harder than writing a drama. And I think this is where it kind of shines through, because dramas can be a little bit more forthcoming, but comedies kind of have to be a little bit more covert with how they do that. And that is to say that a lot of the comedies that I've mentioned here lately have separate moments where you're watching the show, you're getting the ha-has and the giggles and the laughs, and then they kind of like hit you with the moment that it's not until later when you're thinking about the show that you're like, wow, that was a deep emotional moment that I wasn't prepared for. So, like, of course, again, in the examples that I mentioned, The Good Place, the moment where Eleanor is kind of talking to Michael. And there's slight spoilers for the examples that I'm about to give. But if you don't care, then, you know, keep on listening. But the moment where Eleanor is expressing her sadness that her mother, who was kind of a bad mom when Eleanor was a kid, is now a great mom to her stepsister and like her new family. And Eleanor expresses sadness that if her mother was capable of changing this whole time, Eleanor thinks that her mom just didn't think that Eleanor was worth changing for. And Schitt's Creek, literally anything having to do with the character arcs of Stevie and Alexis and just any of the characters, like they really all like have these different emotional moments that you're not anticipating, and it's not until you see it pay off that you understand what they were trying to do the entire time. And then Ted Lasso has plenty of moments, like I mentioned before, like the fact that they kind of show him as like being human. There are a couple of moments where like Ted has like a panic attack, and he has a moment where Rebecca, who is the team's like owner, the football club's owner, she's kind of using Ted Lasso as like this puppet to sink the football club, and she eventually comes clean to him, and Ted is rightfully so a little bit disappointed, but he forgives her in that moment. He doesn't get angry, he doesn't, you know, do anything like that. He forgives her, and that after that, that kind of breaks down Rebecca's emotional wall that she has with Ted. And then it blossoms into this beautiful, you know, friendship that we see in the first and second season. So comedies, I think, tend to nail that the intention of what prestige TV is, and that it makes you feel something, it makes you think something. I think a little bit better than dramas do. Not to say the dramas don't, because there are plenty of dramas that have those moments that you're not really anticipating that they're coming, and then they come and you're like, oh my gosh. But overall, I think prestige TV has a good place. I think it's now beginning to... the tides are beginning to turn, and we're starting to find a better balance of a show that is legitimately entertaining, whether that is a drama or a comedy or genre TV or whatever it is, and also kind of balances that awareness and the smartness, the knowledgeness of those prior shows, and marrying them together in a show that is kind of well done all around, and it's not setting out to teach you or to beat you over the head with this concept, but to let you kind of organically find it. So I won't say that I'm just completely, you know, disgruntled with prestige TV, but I think that it definitely is beginning to kind of evolve and beginning to change, and where, as always, TV is, you know, it ebbs and it flows, and I think prestige TV is now kind of doing the ebb and flow, and we're kind of entering a new age of television. Even with shows like WandaVision that kind of turn genre television on its head and kind of give you a different look at what you may already think, you know, superhero television show should be. The tides are beginning to turn, everyone. That's the point of what I'm trying to say here. To wrap up, I think, you know, with the Emmys, I'm hopeful that maybe in my lifetime we'll begin to see the Emmys and other award shows kind of begin to take that shift that I was talking about earlier. But I just want more stories and more people who are so good at their craft to be awarded for that craft. You know, even in thinking about it now, the fact that the core cast of Pose really never got their moment in the sun with an award, you know, it breaks my heart a little bit, because that was a show that was so important to so many people, and an award has come almost like the cherry on top of that. Like it's not that validation is needed, but sometimes it's like that extra, like, you know, it's that the punctuation on the culmination of the story being told. It's like, we told this great story, we got this great cast of characters together, and this award is the cherry on top. It's the star on top of the Christmas tree. And I'm optimistic that maybe we'll be able to have more moments like that, but I'm mournful of the shows that have, you know, come and gone, that have not been able to get their flowers in that moment. I will say, if nothing that I said about Ted Lasso really resonates, everyone in that show is hot. Really everyone in the show is hot. So if none of the like philosophical waxing poetic things were really speaking to you, everyone in the show is attractive. So if that is something that is a marker for you watching something, I highly recommend. Like, I give my stamp of approval on that. And then Prestige TV. I think it's something that, you know, we'll continue to see how it changes. Like, the trend of it will continue to evolutionize and morph. But it's something, it just describes the era of TV that we're in now. And who knows what that next era will be. You know, we could really revert to your simple single camera comedies, and that can be the new Prestige TV, or can continue to become this complex showcase of a narrative. Who knows, really? No one really knows, but I think it's something definitely worthwhile to talk about right now, and to think a little bit more critically about, rather than just taking it at face value. So I just want to say thank you so, so much for having a very casual conversation with me about the Emmys and Ted Lasso and a little bit about Prestige TV. If you want to know where else to find me on the internet, you can find me at The Afternoon Special on Instagram or over on TikTok. Or if Twitter is more your speed, you can find me at Hi, I'm Bobby. And at the end of each week's episode, you guys already know, I'd love to hear from you. So in the description of each and every episode, you will find the option to send me a 1-minute audio message. It could be a hot take. It could be a response to what I said. It could be a question. It's really up to you. My one ask, of course, is to keep it respectful. And if an audio message is really not your speed, you can always DM me over on Instagram or on TikTok. Probably better on Instagram because I'll see it. And give me your hot take there, and I'll read it at the end of each week's episode. I hope you enjoyed this week's chat, and that you'll join me next week for another pop culture deep dive. Later days, friends.
Hi, just checking in and seeing if you might want to step away from the noise of the world for just a moment and connect back to you. If so, join me on my podcast, Letting It Settle with Michael Galyan, where we'll explore mindfulness, self-love, and personal growth as I share practical insights and tools to hopefully help inspire you to start to take charge of your mental and emotional well-being. Search for Letting It Settle with Michael Galyan on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening now.
I'm Carlos King, one of the most sought-after executive producers in reality television. I am thrilled to announce Reality with the King, where we'll discuss all things reality TV. I have interviewed everyone from NeNe Leakes, Teresa Giudice, and Kenya Moore. Each episode, we will rehash shocking betrayals, honey. Yes! Hilarious shade! And all the drama. Reality with the King podcast is available wherever you get your podcast.